for the anointing of Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that your word declares that you have anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I believe, God, that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Lord, you told us to go forth when we go, preach that the kingdom of God is here. And Lord, I thank you for the ability to do that today. I thank you for the anointing that comes, that rests upon the words that people hear, and that the anointing is on the hearer of the words, that it would go deep within our hearts, that would grab a hold of things that would help us to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I praise you for it now. I thank you, God, for a people who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. Ears to hear what is being released in our midst today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to count on hearing from the Holy Spirit this morning. The Bible says that He is the teacher. You need to be able to connect with something deeper than the one who's speaking out words this morning. You need to connect with the Holy Spirit. If you'll connect with the Holy Spirit, He will teach you. He will lead you into the path that He has, that God has for us. It's more than what takes place in the natural. It also takes place in the supernatural. I'm going to endeavor to get across to you this morning some things I believe Holy Spirit is saying to us. I want, if you can, make sure you put these scriptures up. We're going to go to Romans so that we can read them together this morning. I want you to see the words in Romans chapter 12 this morning. As we read that scripture in verse 2, indications that Paul has given us some things, some insights, so that we might be a people that are after the kingdom of God, as opposed to people who are so tied up with the world that we don't really have any kind of influence in advancing the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Everybody say conformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. So there is a reason that God wants us to not to be conformed, but He wants us to be renewed. And if we are renewed in our minds, then we can begin to understand what is the good and perfect, acceptable will of God in our lives. God has a purpose for us. He didn't just cause us to be born into this earth and then thrust us out there and so whatever shall be, shall be. He has a purpose for us. He has a design for our lives. And the only way that we're really going to find ourselves walking in that design is that we are endeavor to discover the things that God has for us, to discover the things that God wants us to walk in. If we are not involved in, if we're not endeavoring to discover our purpose in life, we'll just go through this life and never really accomplish the things that God has for us. The sad part about that in this life is not only is the church and the world gypped in some way of the fruit of what God wants you to release, but we'll go through life having a sense of being unfulfilled. Why am I here? I know one thing. If you love what you're doing, if you find your place in God, you never ask why you're here. You just say, this is what I've been made for. This is why God has created me. This is why God has put me in this world. And I'm thrilled because I found my place in it. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us not to be conformed to this world. Why? Why would he say that? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 36, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, of course, we're not supposed to be conformed to this world because Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, he's talking to Caesar here, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world. So we are not to be conformed to this world. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Transformed means to change into another form, to transform. To transfigure. In other words, I think when we're born again as believers and we go through the process of transformation, everything about us should look different. Everything about us should be transformed. And of course, to be conformed means to act, now listen to this, act in accordance with or harmony to the world. That simply means, in this scripture, that word "do not be conformed," it means to don't act according to or in harmony with the dictates of this world. Don't act in accord with the prevailing standards, attitudes, practices of society. You and I are not to live like that. What would that mean now, the prevailing standards of society? The prevailing standards of society. Well, the prevailing standard of society, whether we want to admit it or not, but it's in the laws, we have all kinds of confusion when it comes to marriage. The prevailing standard would suggest that marriage between two women or two men is certainly all right. That's a standard that's set in society. And Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't accept that as a standard. Do not accept that as an acceptable way of life for anybody. Let's take another standard that seems to be set in society, is that when people get together, when a female and a male even get together, that they most times now today, that they end up living together before they're married, or they have sex before they're married. That is a standard of society. Whether we like it or not, we see that as a standard. What does the scripture say? Do not be conformed to the standards of this world. That's a standard of society. We're not supposed to live like that. We're supposed to honor the sanctity of marriage that God has presented to us. And we could go on and on about things that society accepts that we are not to accept. We are to be different. We are not to be conformed to this world. There is a standard in the kingdom of God. We are to live according to kingdom of God principles. Now, renewing, we're told in this verse to renew our minds. Renewing means to renovate. I like this. To bring back to its original state. You ever thought of that? That the way you think now is not according to the original plan of God? Now, the Apostle Paul said that we are not to be conformed to this world. Why would he tell us that? It seemed to me that there must be some pressure that is leading us to be conformed to this world. But he says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why is he telling the Roman Christians to be transformed by the renewing of their mind? It must mean that there's something wrong with their thinking. Does that make sense, logically? I mean, I'm not going to tell, if Janice is perfect in her thinking, I'm not going to tell her to renew her mind. I'm going to say, wow, I want to be around you because you have a perfect mind. No, but Paul said, I want you to renew your mind, meaning that there's something wrong with our thinking. If there was nothing wrong with our thinking, we would not have to renew our mind. But Paul says to renew our minds, that we might be transformed. And our need for being transformed means that there's something wrong with our thinking. And why is there something wrong with their thinking? Well, a lot of it is, it might be just because of bad information. Our thinking might be a such fashion that it might be just bad information. In fact, you and I can think things, thoughts, according to what media would present us, even if they are presenting us through facts. The degree that they highlight certain facts can cause us to think a certain way. And if we are getting our thinking from the media, we need to be renewed in our mind. Now, just as an example of that, we might think about, look around the earth today. We can see in media, we see them talking about the terrible ISIS army that is slaughtering people, talking about the Russia going into Ukraine. They're talking about the trouble in the Middle East, where between Israel and the Palestinians are talking about Libya, the trouble there, the Turkey, the trouble there, and all the forces that seem to be coming together, and talk about the armies that are being put together to fight certain sectors and terrorists. And they presented that to us over and over and over and over and over again, to the point where we begin thinking that the world is a terrible place. It's the world is going down the tubes. And many of us can start thinking that way. Well, the world is in a terrible place. And the world is worse off than it's ever been. It'd be pretty easy to think that way, wouldn't it? How many of us have thought that way? Come on. Yeah, a whole bunch of us. Now, listen to this. If that was our thinking, that if the measurement of the world getting worse and worse when it comes to lives, if the measurement of that is the number of people that are dying today through wars, through anything really, tell us a different story. Actually, tell us the world is getting much better place. When we really read the figures on that. Let me read you some. According to prominent Harvard psychologist Steven Pinker, the number of people killed in battle, calculated per 100,000 population, has dropped by 1,000-fold over the centuries as civilization evolved. I think if you question those numbers, all you got to do sometimes is go back and read in the Old Testament. The rate of genocide deaths per world population was 1,400 times higher in 1942 than in 2008. Quite a difference. Murder in European countries steadily has fallen from near 100 per 100,000 people in the 4th, 14th, and 15th century to about 1 per 100,000 people now. So the world is changing, isn't it? Murder within families. The United States rate of husbands being killed by their wives has dropped from 1.2% per 100,000 in 1976 to 0.2% today. For wives killed by their husbands, the rate has slipped from 1.4 to 0.8 over the same period of time. Rape in the United States is down 80% since 1973. Lynchings, which used to occur at a rate of 150 a year, have disappeared. So that tells a different story, doesn't it, than what media is presenting it? It tells a totally different story that, you know, if we are measuring by death rate, for instance, that the world is actually getting to be a much better place. Now, I'm not suggesting that in every way the world is better. I don't know. There's some things that you just can't measure, like morality in so many areas that's just very difficult to measure. We can read lots of statistics, but we can only guess. But I do know, you know, before the Lord returns, there seems to be that there may be a tremendous turnaround. I don't know. But far as statistics go right now, it seems like the world is getting a better place as far as people dying goes. And I praise God for that. But I say that to say this. Our thinking can be out of line with the kingdom of God if we are not careful. If we take the world's information in order to gain our thinking, then we will not have proper thinking. We'll be thinking in an illusion rather than factual state, rather than truth. We'll begin thinking that things are really, really bad, and I'm convinced that that's what the enemy wants us to think, wants you to think, wants your children to begin thinking about, you're never going to grow up because the world's going to end. Look around us, all the wars and things that are going on every place, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse, and you really don't have a future. The enemy would love to get our children thinking that way. Because what happens is when you get a generation thinking that way, you have a hopeless generation, and they don't really have any destiny in mind in their lives. They go thinking about they can do things and because it's not going to really mean anything because I'm not going to be here in another 20 years. This philosophy can get into us many, many times. But I want you to think about the fact that God thinks about you, of what God thinks about you, and that you have an awesome future ahead. You have reason to be thankful to God for where you are today. You have reason to be thankful for God for where He's taken you because you have an awesome future. And you can choose to think that the world is saying that things are going to get worse and worse and the economy is going to go down the hill and all the rest of it. Or you can choose to think things are going to get better. Praise God. No matter what situation I'm in, things are going to get better. Things are going to change. I believe God is with me. He's by my side, and things are going to change. Now, man at one time thought God thoughts. You ever think about that? Man at one time thought God thoughts. In other words, man used to think like God. When God created man, he was in the Garden of Eden. And man used to think like God. About society, he used to think like God. He used to think of, like God concerning the garden. And I'm just imagining the Adam and Eve were probably the absolute best gardeners that you could ever possibly have. Because they had God's mind on everything. Man used to think God's thoughts. But when Satan came and deceived Adam and Eve, they fell. Adam and Eve, prior to the fall, began to would think God's thoughts, and they never had any question about who they were. But the first thing that the enemy did was to cause Adam and Eve to question who they were. Adam and Eve were told, if you will eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will become like God. Now that was a lie, a deceptive lie, because they were already like God. Because the Bible says that man was made in God's image and in God's likeness. So the first thing the enemy did was start questioning their position in God. And whenever he convinced them, to some degree, that they weren't like God, and they could be like God, that's when they fell. And when they fell, they began getting their information from this natural physical realm. They didn't think like God anymore. And if you were to read Genesis chapter 3, you would find there that the scriptures actually say that God says, look at man. James Foster translation puts it this way. Look at man who was once like us. How sad his condition now is. Then they begin to think human thoughts instead of God thoughts. But God says, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you become transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will again begin to think God thoughts. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23, why does God want us to think his thoughts? Proverbs 23, 7, for as a person, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So it's pretty important to have good thoughts, isn't it? God thoughts. Because if you, whatever you think in your heart, that's what you become. Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is. So watch your thoughts. It's so important to watch your thoughts. Because Satan introduced the lie to Adam and Eve, got them thinking his thoughts. You see, we serve either God or the devil. Bob Dylan used to sing that song, you got to serve somebody. You'll either serve the God or the devil. And we'll either think God thoughts or the devil thoughts. Now, I'd like to say that human beings are so wonderful that they are independent and they can decide their life and they can manage their life and they can just do quite fine alone. It'd be nice, in a way, to say that, but we know that's not true. You see, we'll either serve God or the devil. There's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. What a stupid phrase when you think of it. That people grow up and people, you know, become successful in life and they say, oh yeah, he's a self-made man. If he's a self-made man, he's pretty pathetic. I don't want self designing me. I want God's Spirit in me, helping me, saying, God, what are you saying today? Because you see, anybody who says or thinks I'm a self-made man, all they're really saying is, I've been listening to the devil instead of God. You know that song? Who was saying, I did it my way? Well, no, if you did it just your way and not God's way, you did it the devil's way. See, it's one or the other. We serve God or man. Thank you, Father. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. What are thoughts? Listen to this phrase. Thoughts that go unspoken die unborn.